God's voice. The scripture that we're going to read here, Samuel hears God's voice for the first time, and this changes his life. So we're going to talk about God's voice and your future. 1 Samuel 3, 3 through 10.
The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel and said, "Here." Then the Lord called Samuel and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord said again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And then the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood calling as the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears."
Okay, God's voice in your future. Let's begin. Let's talk about God's voice. In our text, it takes note of the times that Samuel was living in, and it says it was a time of darkness, and in this time, people were not hearing from God. 1 Samuel 3:1.
Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation.
Okay, there was no widespread revelation, and it's giving a picture in the nation. It was a time of decline. We know the background of this is Eli's sons, the high priest, his sons, they were unclean, they were selfish. And then Eli himself was living selfishly. He wouldn't make hard decisions. And so it's describing when God speaks to a person, it is not just isolated individual you in a closet somewhere. It actually is talking about the conditions around you. And I want to say we're living in dark days. This is a time of darkness. What a crazy world we live in. Just to see the decline in our nation and in the world as a whole, when there are problems in the world, there also are problems in the church. We'll use it. I know this is the temple of Judaism, but nonetheless, these are people supposed to be connected to God. And so the issue is that when people are not doing right, it doesn't just affect them, it affects other people. This is why God is so radical on the judgment in Eli and his sons, is because what you do affects other people. And there were people in the nation that the nation is declining, living in darkness, and they don't know any difference. They don't know that life can be different. So the need, when God is going to speak, the need is that God needs people who will live for others and not themselves. Philippians 2, 20 and 21.
"I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ."
Okay, so he is saying, Paul is now writing, and he says the problem, he's not saying there are no Christians. That's not what he says. He says the problem is Christians living for themselves. That is their total focus when they wake up in the morning, the total focus of their plans, what dominates their thoughts, it's themselves. What can I have? What feels good to me? What benefits my family? What is best for the future? On and on and on. And so that is true. Whenever there is selfishness, there is always darkness. So Paul says this is a common problem. That scripture that we just read in Philippians 2 is thousands of years old, and yet that still plays out today. When you have men that choose to live lives that make no impact, that is always the problem. If they're living selfishly, then they're not making impact for good. No one is helped, and then, of course, there is the choices of life are about what is going to last. And Paul, in another place in Corinthians, he speaks about this, about what we build our life on and the foundations of life, wood, hay, stubble. He's using just pictures out of common everyday life that when you apply fire to it, at the end of the day, there is nothing left. So here's the question: that in the world, getting back to our scripture, in the world that is dark, the question every man has to ask is, what is the sum total of your life going to be? Eli is now nearing the end, and at the end, he is selfish and won't do right. Therefore, everybody in the nation is not helped, and in fact, they are even hurt. So here's the question. What's the sum total of your life going to be? What at the end of your life, when you stand before God, if you were to present to God, this is my life, what is it going to be? Is it going to be your car keys? I drove a nice car. I drove a nice truck. You're going to show them pictures of the house that you carefully remodeled endlessly. Is it going to be your monthly income? You're going to show them your tax return. And that is what my life is made of. So this is what's going on in a selfish time. God now, he speaks. And God's voice, it changes everything. When God speaks, he speaks because he cares not just about your life and being all you can be. He cares about other people's problems and needs. Exodus 3, verse 7.
And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows.
This is back now in Exodus when God speaks to Moses, and God speaking to him is connected to other people. He says there are people that they have no hope right now. They are in bondage and they're being killed in Egypt. Oppression is the mark of their life, and I've heard their cry. There are people crying out and them talking about their sorrows. This is always why God speaks. God speaks not because, wouldn't it be neat if God spoke to us? What God cares about is what other people are going through in a time of darkness. That there are people right now, while we're about to enter into a glorious week. I predict you're going to feel the presence of God this week. If you have a pulse, you're going to feel God. But there are people who don't have that. We're going to enjoy feeling clean in the eyes of God and knowing that we're on our way to heaven. There are people who don't have that. There are going to be people that right now in different places in the world where we live or in other places that are addicted and their marriages are in trouble, they're suicidal. God speaks because his answer is always a man. He's speaking to Samuel. Samuel is going to become a man of God. Samuel is going to be the answer for the darkness of the nation. And this is the reason why God will speak is because you can be the answer for those who are living in darkness. Think about that. You can change people's lives. Their life can be completely different because of you. And then, of course, the big reason why God would speak is because people are on their way to hell. The problem is not just that they're missing out on all the fun that we have as believers. They're on their way to a devil's hell. God will speak to a man because you can determine whether people live or die. You can determine whether or not people wind up in heaven or hell. So God speaks, first of all, because of people's problems and needs. Then he speaks about his will for our lives. God speaks what he has planned, not our plans. Notice here, he did not come down to Samuel and say, "What have you always dreamed of being in life? What is your goals? What is your aims? Your life purpose? What do you think about it? Let's talk about that." God speaks what he has planned. I don't think I gave Jeremiah 1:5, but what a profound scripture that God says, "Before you were born, I chose you. I chose you to be a prophet to the nations." That is what God does. He speaks his will for our lives. Isaiah 6, verse 8.
"Also I heard the voice of the Lord say, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'"
Okay, this is always what God does. When he speaks now to Isaiah, he speaks his will. I have no idea what Isaiah planned in life. And in fact, that's actually irrelevant. What God wants to know in his voice is, "I have a plan for your life," and that is what God speaks to us. Let's talk secondly about the posture of hearing. There is a posture in life that determines whether you actually can hear God's voice. That is found here in 1 Samuel 3:1, the second time.
"Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation."
Okay, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. This is actually an amazing scripture. You know the story of his mother, Hannah, who could not have children, prayed and said, "God, if you'll help me have a child, I'll dedicate him to the Lord." And apparently as a young boy, this would be, you know, incredible for us to think of. As a young boy, they came and said, "This boy can minister to the Lord in the temple." So, in other words, Eli's life was focused on God. Who is it that God speaks to? Someone who is focused on God. So then, logically, we can take the opposite. If you are not focused on God, there's a very good chance that God will not speak. Okay, God doesn't just randomly, you know, interrupt your video game playing with a message from the Lord. It's people who are focused on God. So this is actually very practical. There are believers, there are men that do not pray and do not read their Bibles. This should be most basic common sense. Those who do not pray and read their Bible are unlikely to hear the voice of God. They're the least likely candidates. And the reason why is it's distance. Every husband and wife, I'm sure you play the same game that my wife and I play. My wife will be calling me from the other end of the house. Or she'll be in the closet and it'll be, and what do I say? "What?" It never changes. Right? We've been doing that since we're married. That message never becomes clear until one of us comes closer, right? And then you can hear what they had to say. That is what it is like in serving God. There are guys who are lazy. They have no discipline of getting out of bed and coming to prayer, arranging their schedule to come early before church to pray. They don't read their Bible. I don't think that it's that God never says anything. But I think, you know, is that me? What is that? So they're unlikely. They never hear from God. I even have people, sometimes they complain if I preach on hearing from God. It's like, "God doesn't speak to me." Maybe you're too far away. You got to focus on God in order to hear God's voice. And then, of course, there are some people who do not want to hear. They don't want to hear because they're afraid. They're afraid of what God might say, or they're too selfish. It was in breakfast last week, or the week before. Anthony Cascio was honest, and he said before he surrendered to God, he did not come to prayer. He didn't pray. Why not, Anthony? Because he said, I knew if I started coming to prayer, God would call me. And I didn't want to be called. That's true. So therefore, God wasn't able to speak clearly to him. So the point in hearing God's voice, you have to be willing to hear. That's fundamental. You have to be ministering to the Lord. You have to be willing to hear. And you actually have to be willing to obey what you hear. It's not like, okay, I'm going to wait until the Lord presents all of his message and then I'll see. There actually has to be a default setting of yes. You have to be willing to obey. John 7:17.
Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own.
Okay, if anyone chooses. I like that translation, New King James. If anyone wills to do his will or chooses to do the will of God, New King James says, he shall know. So you are willing to do, those are the people that know. And that has to be a part of serving God, is God, if you speak, the default setting is yes. The people who have yes as their automatic response, they're the ones who do genuinely hear from God. John 2, verse 5.
His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it.
Okay, whatever God says to you, do it. That is how truly God will actually speak, is when people have a posture of obedience and willingness in hearing. Let's talk finally about focusing on God's voice. This is actually the very first time that Eli has heard the voice of God. He's going to be a prophet. He's going to hear powerful things in clarity, directing people's lives. This is the first time he ever hears it. So Eli gives Samuel very good advice in verse 9. Did I give that out? Someone got it there. Verse 9.
Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place.
Okay, so here is, there's a, you know, of course, two things here. How do you hear the voice of God genuinely? Number one is lie down in your place. So you need to be where you need to be. If you, you know, if it's church this morning, who is it who's more likely to hear the voice of God? Those who are in church this morning or those who are out on the lake fishing? I mean, I'm sure God could speak on the lake. I mean, that's his prerogative. But he says, lie down in your place. So that's a given. But actually here is you have to be listening for God's voice. It wasn't just go to sleep. There is something about him. Eli wanted Samuel to learn to listen to God's voice. This is a heart attitude. You have to ask God to speak to you personally. This is my constant prayer. You guys here, if you hear me pray, you know that I pray that more than anything. When I was driving here this morning, my default when I wake up in the morning is, God, speak to me today. I want you to speak to me. Not just a sermon for everybody else. I need you to speak to me. You can do that. You can ask God. That can be the default of your life. I am preaching this, of course, because we're coming into conference. You need to be asking God to speak to you this week in conference. What is it that God needs to say to you this week? about your life, about your marriage, about your ministry, about your money. I don't know. I'm not God. It's not for me to tell you what God is going to say. But that's an attitude when you come in. You can either say, my friends will be here this week and we'll probably have fellowship together. We'll catch up. Or you can say, God, I need you to speak to me this week. That's the whole point of conference. I think last week in Memorial Stones, I was laying out, what is conference for? It's to bring you into the presence of God, so that you can hear God's voice. And then, of course, the message that God brings to Samuel, we didn't take time to read it all, is it's about the future. You should be asking God to speak to you about your future. And the most important question you can ask God is, what do you want me to do in life? What does he want me to do with my life? You may have planned. There is nothing wrong with planning. As long as there is a part of you that is asking God, what do you want in life? Then, of course, for those who've been saved quite some time, or for pastors, part of coming into conference is, am I still in your will? I don't want to assume that because I have been in your will, that I still am. I'm not talking about sin, but there God speaks. One of the things that happens, whenever God speaks, something changes. Often it's a change of direction. Sometimes it's confirmation, which is keep doing the same thing. But sometimes it's a change of direction. You have to ask God what you want. And when God speaks, there should be a change. Then, of course, with Eli, we have to, or Samuel rather, we have to respond to God's voice. 1 Samuel 3:10.
And the Lord came and stood and called at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for his servant hears.
Okay, this is a very important. Speak, for your servant hears or is listening. In other words, what he is saying is, I will do whatever you tell me to do. That is the whole point. I'm willing to do. That is how God speaks with clarity. You have to respond. And responding when God speaks determines whether you hear anything else. Mark 4:25.
Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them.
Okay. Having, not having, and the context, whoever has, it actually acts on what they know. That is actually the context of what he says. Whoever acts on what they have, what does the Bible say? You will get more. But he says, whoever has not, which is does not act on what they have, what happens? You don't get any more. Matter of fact, you get less. You know, there are people at every service, it fascinates me. There's one group of people who their life is being transformed by what they're hearing. Like, this is incredible. Conference was in service was incredible. Because those are the people who are willing to do and are doing what God said. There are other people there. When is he going to shut up? Man, I'm not being fed. How can I be at the same service? How can I be so powerful that I am changing someone's life and ruining someone's life at the same time? That's a hard issue, isn't it? Has not. Doing what God said. This is the key. Whatever he says to you, you have to do it. So the question is, when God speaks, you have to commit yourself to what God says. Elisha is plowing, and often the voice of God is an interruption. It can even be a surprise at times. When God spoke to me and called me, it was a surprise. I was not expecting it. That was not in my planning. God told me he wanted me to preach. Elisha, when that call came to him, God spoke to him, His response, here it is, he's plowing, and the Bible takes note that he had 12 yoke of oxen. That means they had money. That's what it's talking about. They were very prosperous and successful. What does he do? He kills the oxen. He sacrifices. In other words, I am committing myself. He burns the yoke because he says, I am committed to God's will. Everything changes. It's not continuing on as life has always been. Plus now I'll add the will of God. He said, no, everything changes. Simon and Andrew left their nets. James and John left their father with the boat. They left the business in order to do the will of God. When God spoke to me from that time, I reorganized or reoriented my life toward the Word of God. I began studying God's Word. I let go of my plans. I told you my plans in life was going to be cars. I had 69 Pontiac GTO, 400 small block, but when God spoke to me, it went. I have never returned to cars again. That is no longer. I have a new calling. That is a part. So that's a choice that only you can make. See, the issue of discipleship, doing God's will is not a matter of me giving you a test, answering the questions correctly. The questions are often in here. God asks the question, you got to answer them in here. It's not on paper that I can grade you and mark it in red with a smiley face. Good job. It's every man. Are you going to hear from God? I don't know. And then are you going to do what God says? I don't know. That is personal. Samuel is the one who had to determine. Speak, for your servant hears, and God, he did speak. I want you to bow your heads just for a moment. We're going to have questions in a minute. But I preach something like this or minister in Serious Men before conference because my prayer is that God is going to speak this week. And I'm going to pray right now for you. God, there are men that are here. God, we live in a world of darkness, but there are men here that are the answer to that darkness. And I am asking you, God, this week, do not let this just be a gathering and a collection of sermons. I am asking you to speak. God, speak to me this week, your will. But I'm asking every man here, let them have hearts that are open. I pray that you will speak concerning calling. Speak about destiny, Lord God. Speak about marriages, finances, ministry, fruitfulness. God, you have right of way. Holy Spirit, I'm asking. There is going to be a sensitivity in our hearts, Lord God. Let there be an anointing on every preacher. Let there be a supernatural atmosphere that you can speak. And God, let the default position of our hearts be yes. God, if you'll speak, we'll do what you say so that you're able to speak more. Give us clarity. Let us know that it's you. And then, God, in advance, I thank you for the souls that are going to be saved by what you speak this week. The lives that are going to be transformed, the destinies will be determined this week. And I thank you for it in advance. Let's praise God together right now. God, I thank you. Thank God. Okay, I want to open for some questions. Take time to answer questions right now. Something you want to ask.
How do we develop a heart that's driven by the needs of others?
I think in numbers of ways, we repent of selfishness. We ask God to give us a love for people. Those can be practical, right? Someone who doesn't go on outreach, you probably don't love souls, right? So that's a repentance issue. Then you have heart issues. And I came to a point as a disciple where I realized I was doing many good things, but I didn't actually really care for people or love people. So I prayed. I remember going to my father. I'd tell him, I know that I don't have genuine love. So he said, pray. Ask God to give you a burden for souls and a love for people. I began to pray. So that's the prayer side of it. And then, of course, it is involvement with people. If you are repenting and praying, then it is that the needs of people motivate you rather than irritate you. Right? So it has to be practical. If you're just waiting, praying, but not actually getting involved, it won't work. But if you are getting involved without praying and repenting, probably you'll wind up hating people and resenting them. Good. Somebody else?
Pastor Greg, you mm-hmm. said that voice of God is clear. Like when God speaks, it's clear. Mm-hmm. So when God does speak to you, it's not something you're like wondering. It should be whether it's an impression or something yeah. your spirit will know that that's God. It's not just you.
Sure. So that is something, that one lesson, and it wasn't really the point of what we're talking about today, is the story of Samuel shows that the voice of God, you can learn it, right? So it may not be clear the first time, right? Samuel. So he goes to Eli, what do you want? No, you're not hearing clearly. You don't get it yet. So that can be developed. So you don't have to. The voice of God is clear when it's life-changing. So there can be fundamental times where there is a light. You know, God told me he wanted to preach. That was clear. But then there's day-to-day, I have learned sensitivity, the voice of God, by tuning in. You have to have a heart that it's like old, you know, everything changes these days with the internet, but there was a time when radios, it depended on which way the antenna was focused. So you focus. When I want to hear the voice of God, that's my default every day. I need to hear from God. So that's part of it. Secondly, then I test the voice of God. We talk about this with the gifts of the Spirit, praying for the sick. You learn God's voice. It's an impression. So you can test that. In witnessing, we've talked about that many times. In witnessing, you can ask it as a question. I have the impression that they've had someone in their family die recently, so I ask it. And when they say yes, it's like, oh, so that was God, not just pizza, you know, not just a dream, right? So you're learning it. So clarity is something that is developed over time. So you shouldn't sweat it. If I don't hear the voice of God clearly right now, then you're at the Samuel stage, early stages. Develop it. If you hunger, if you want it, God will speak. That is one of the most common promises in the Bible, is that God speaks. So he can help us with it. Matt?
Have you ever had anybody come to you and ask if you could hear from God on their behalf as well as confirmation? And have you ever heard from God for other people? And
well, I mean, asking someone to hear from God on their behalf, you know, I have people who want me to tell them what to do in life, and I won't do that.
Yeah.
We don't operate like that. What do you think I should do? It's not my job. My job is to help you find the voice of God. However, if you have a pastor that cares for you, this is why you should have a local church and a local pastor. Is because if you have a pastor that cares for you, he can direct you. While I may not be the one every day, God speaking to me about Matt, but then someone comes to me and says, listen, I think God told me to move to, to Pakistan tomorrow. That may be an instinctive, that doesn't bear witness of my spirit. I can tell them why, you know. So that's the point of having a shepherd. He can guide you in the best way. But I don't become the voice of God for people. I'm not dial a guidance, right? What do you think I should do? You know, here you go. Yes, no, seven. Holy number.
Seven.
Had to be.
Yeah.
Three and seven. Very holy. Go ahead.
Can you ask God to speak again? Say you heard from God in the past.
Sure. Yeah. There are times where I have God speak and it's not clear, so I need confirmation so that I know. Or there are things that God may ask you that are frightening, right? Can you like Gideon, right? Can I have a little comforting? Can we make the sheepskin wet and the ground dry? You know, you can, you know, God is merciful. Sure, God is merciful. So you don't have to be someone else. If you ever hear someone preach and the voice of the Lord came and it was like an audible voice, you should not get depressed, because God doesn't talk to me like that, right? God did not tell me what to have for breakfast this morning. I'm not on that plane. I chose ham and cheese. That was. Yeah, sure. So God is merciful. He'll help us. Yes.
Is God always speaking and we're just sometimes not listening, or is his speaking and stirring a seasonal thing?
Oh, I think God probably always is to some degree, but it's not necessary. You know, God speaks to me a lot, and obviously to me, God may be speaking me out of the Word of God. But it's not necessary. It's not like, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you're like, I need the Lord to speak to me whether I should go to prayer. No, He already did. Right? There are things, just keep doing the same. But I think it should be a part of your life. You should absolutely be wanting the voice of God. It is not only, it's encouraging, it's safe, it keeps me from doing dumb things if I can hear the voice of God, it helps me for other people. You know, when you become a pastor, hearing the voice of God is profound. When I, and then of course, God may speak in different ways. We talked about this yesterday, or 2 days ago at breakfast. What attracted you in a scripture? That's the voice of God. That is God. As a pastor, I do that. It's like something, a word popped in my head while I was driving. One phrase out of a scripture. Then I develop it, I preach it, and someone comes, that is exactly what was going on. Well, that was God speaking, right? That's what I want. I don't want to be just, this is out of a book. You want it to be alive. I have a living relationship with God. So, but I'm sure that God does speak a lot more than we hear, on the other hand.
By constantly saying no when God's speaking to you, if you're reading your Bible and praying, and He's speaking to you, you know, go witness to them, go pray for them, go whatever it may be, and you're saying no, is it possible to completely lose touch with that, with God speaking to you, even though you might still be praying and reading?
You know, that's in the hypothetical. I suppose, you know, disobedience blocks the voice of God. We can just leave it at that. It's not a matter of, I can't give you percentages. Every time you say no, you lose 70%. It's not like that. But the bottom line is that disobedience blocks God's voice. When people obey, God speaks. So, fortunately, we serve a merciful God. Otherwise, we'd all be dead.
So, helping people for selfish endeavors, like, that could be bad too, but could it be also bad to say, I'm going to help you so I can hear from God? You mean you're not really helping them to help them, you're helping them yourself?
Yeah, but that's, you know, you're getting into motives which are, those are vague things.
Okay.
The best thing, Trevor, when you're a new convert is focus on known factors. That'll help you. Don't think too much on possibilities and vague items. This is what I know. If you'll do what you know, God often leads you into the unknown. So I wouldn't get hung up on, is this the right motive? Is it not the right motive? You know, I don't know. Do what God makes clear. Yep.
If you should worry about something foolish, is it sometimes better just to jump and try anyway?
Yeah, because pride blocks the voice of God, sure.
I guess, because especially as a new convert, turning up, sometimes I feel like when I hear people speak in tongues, like I feel like God saying, just looking completely at something, and I just never open my mouth because I'm like, I'm not going to be that bad. It's completely off base.
But you're talking about prophecy or speaking in tongues?
Yeah, prophecy.
Yeah, that'll come in time. Yeah, I wouldn't sweat it. All in time.
Pastor, I had a question. When God speaks, can God speak through dreams?
He certainly can. I mean, it is a biblical part in life. However, my caution is, you know, through the years I get kooky Christians. I used to have in South Africa. This is very common. I'd have someone show up. I never met them in my whole life. Pastor, last night I had a dream and there was this black thing that came down and in the red and there was like, what does that mean? Like, it means you ate chili late at night. I don't know. It's not my job. I think the issue with a dream is that if it is God, it will not torment you. The meaning will be clear. So, you know, you may have a vague, you know, there are things that are just vague. You're worried about something, so you dream about being chased. That's common. You feel inadequate, so you dream that you showed up at church in your pajamas. Those are common things. But very occasionally, my wife and I were going through a long season of kind of just mental vexation and sickness in the house. It just went on and on and on. And I normally do not dream clearly. It's vague. It's just kind of, there was something not good, but I don't know, I couldn't tell you what it is. But this night, someone, and I can't tell you what the person was, I knew that they were evil and they wanted to hurt me, and they were holding out a bowl. And it was, the bowl was clear. It was like a bowl shape. I won't say it was like a ceramic or whatever, but it was a bowl shape. And it was, that was so weird to me that it was clear. The next morning I said, has someone given us something like a bowl or bowl shape? So we kind of look in the cupboard, we're looking like for cereal bowls, you know, like, no, we got nothing. The next day, or maybe later that day, my wife calls to me from the back of the house and the back room of the house, where she put sewing stuff. She opened up, I have no idea where we got it, but it was like this woven basket thing that someone had given us. So, I mean, we're just putting little pins and junk in there. So just because that was so clear, let's get rid of it. And something changed. So that was, a dream is not meant to torment. Number one, please don't come to me asking for interpretation. It's not my job. I don't have the dream interpretation ministry. Number two, it's not meant to torment you.
Now, if you have a dream about a certain somebody and they're going through something in that dream, should you confront them and tell them, hey, this is what I've had a dream about, I don't know what it's about?
Well, confronting, you're now talking then about, it's kind of like gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit, exhortation, edification, comfort. So confront, no, probably not. That's probably not your ministry, not your place. So now it might be encouragement. It's never wrong to encourage somebody. You know, I dream you were struggling going through and then God helped you. That would, I'm sure that's fine. Yeah. Sure. anybody else? Thinking. Clear as mud. All right. Okay, so we're going to have a great time this week. I am believing God's going to speak to us.